This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, we can send that one out to Zelensky, too, I think, on top of On the Road Again.
Not sure I follow you there. But
no?
No, what do you mean?
It's just kind of seems like something he'd be into. Your version.
My version of the Annie Fry Show theme? Okay.
Yeah. I can see him listening to that in his headphones, looking longingly out the window on the airplane on the way home.
On the way to Bret Baier.
Ah, man, we've been watching the news just kind of blow up. On over the last couple hours, and Zelensky got bounced from the White House after not having a very successful conversation with Donald Trump. Donald Trump felt disrespected, and therefore he gone. Here's Jackie Heinrich's post from 12:52, so just over an hour ago. White House officials tell Fox, Trump kicks out Zelensky. He did not walk off on his own. Rare minerals deal was not signed. White House says, quote, Ukrainians were begging to reset, but Rubio and Waltz inform them Zelensky needs to leave White House grounds, return when he's ready for peace. Jackie Heinrich reports, the president and U.S. officials felt disrespected by Zelensky's rhetoric and demeanor, cited that he was shrugging and rolling his eyes during the conversation. Jackie goes on to say, when I went to upper press to ask what was going on, the lunch that Trump and Zelensky were supposed to dine on and talk over was sitting in the hallway, and I'm told White House press office staffers will be eating it. I wonder what Will Scharf had for lunch.
Let's find out. Should if he says them? Taco bar, I'm going to be mad because that sounds really good.
Taco bar. So we've got a couple things lined up for you here. I'm walking through a lot of the posts that are on X because honestly, you know, when Elon Musk says you're the media now, things are going to be on X before they're going to be up on the news on TV outlets that you might see. Let's see. Dan Crenshaw. You want to hear what Dan Crenshaw had to say 33 minutes ago?
Is he going to kill Tucker?
I feel like he's going to be angry.
You look good, by the way, Ryan.
Oh, thanks.
He didn't seem flattered by that.
Look at how cool he played it.
When you hear it that often.
From me?
No, from you. That's why I'm surprised.
Yeah,
I've never heard of you.
You sound shocked.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Get on the Annie Fry YouTube channel.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Gee whiz.
Dan Crenshaw posts, if you are the leader of a country in a dire situation with no path to peace without American support, do not come into the Oval Office and argue with the president of the United States in public. Just a word of advice. Dan Crenshaw.
Mm.
He's playing for our team.
once in a while.
Yeah, every now and then.
Clock is even a broken clock. Right, a couple times a day.
So, Brad, you've got Mike Pompeo, who I have not really heard Donald Trump say very many positive things about lately. Mike Pompeo queued up here. Let's listen to what he has to say.
Omar, it's great to be with you. That is quite unusual in one sense. It's unusual in the sense of this played out in public, but I've seen many, many tough conversations with world leaders. I've been part of them with the Chinese and with others. President Trump has certainly been part of them. I was party to those as well. So the vigorous nature of the debate that took place, each side staking out its arguments, its claim, each trying to deliver on behalf of its own people, that frankly didn't stun me. I'm probably pretty hard to surprise at this point.
Yeah.
But I was surprised that this took place in the Oval Office with the media still present. And then the second thing I observed was, when you're engaged in these things that are absolutely important to the United States of America and to the Ukrainian people and to Europe, you have to make sure you don't personalize this. This can't be about individuals. This is so much bigger than that. This matters so much to how this administration can successfully deliver the deterrence that it had during the first 4 years, push back against Vladimir Putin as we had done. You have to make sure that you get the ideas right. You have to get the structure right. It's about actions, not words. And when we get those things right, we can deliver a really good outcome for the United States and frankly, a good outcome for Europe and Ukraine as well. And if you get them wrong, then there's lots of risk, as President Trump described in the Oval Office.
So that's Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State in Donald Trump's first administration, speaking there. Now, who can you think of that's been super pro-Ukraine and like, we got to do this. We got to be over there. Let's send some more money over there on the Republican side.
Mitch McConnell.
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham has been a supporter. He's always considered a little bit of a war hawk. This is Lindsey Graham on Fox News post dust up in the Oval Office between Donald Trump, J.D. Vance and President Zelensky. I'm looking at this image here as well. And I see Marco Rubio. I didn't notice this on the initial thing, but Marco Rubio was sitting immediately to J.D. Vance's left. So that's a little extra detail to add to the conversation. Let's hear where's Lindsey Graham on this?
Met
right
with
now?
Zelensky this morning. I urged him to stay on message, be grateful, be thankful. We'll talk about details of security guarantees later. Keep it upbeat, keep it positive. It was absolute, utter disaster. The question for me is he redeemable in the eyes of Americans? Most Americans witnessing what they saw today would not want Zelensky to be their business partner, including me, and I've been to Ukraine 9 times since the war started. I met with him this morning. President Trump, I talked to last night, he was upbeat about the deal. I've never been more proud of President Trump for showing the American people and the world you don't trifle with this man. He was very positive. He was very upbeat. He wanted to get a ceasefire. He wants to end the war. And Zelensky felt like he needed to bait Trump in the Oval Office. J.D. was awesome.
So you have Senator Lindsey Graham there. I mean, he's fully on vocally saying, Zelensky, what the heck are you doing, dude?
He said he met with him today and told him, go in, be grateful. And he's saying he didn't do any of those things.
So Donald Trump kicks Zelensky out and Rubio says, you have to leave. You have to leave White House grounds before you are able to come back. Come back when you are looking for peace. 50 minutes ago, Volodymyr Zelensky put on X this. Thank you, America. Thank you for your support. Thank you for this visit. Thank you, POTUS, Congress, and the American people. Ukraine needs just and lasting peace, and we are working exactly for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Peace.
Peace. Trump and Vance were like, say thank you. And Rubio was like, come back for peace. And he's like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Peace.
This rando comments, Canada stands with you.
Okay.
Under his post. Rando is not their name. You can't look them up that way. I'm just getting a kick out of how many people can weigh in on this on X right now. High profile people, in their words, not relayed through the media, not cycled through, not edited, not clipped, nothing. Let's see here. Marco Rubio's State Department has terminated U.S. support of Ukraine's energy grid restoration. Hundreds of millions of dollars had already been invested in this project. Zelensky screwed up big time. That's according to Behizi tweets. you got to be smart when you're siphoning these posts. There's a lot of them. What do you have a prediction on what happens next?
Yeah. This thing just keeps escalating. You know, this is going to be the talk of the weekend. Everybody's going to be talking about this. It's. I don't think that it was intentionally high drama, but it was high drama, and it was live. And everybody's going to see clips, maybe not the whole thing. I'm glad we played the whole thing because it was all important to see here. But I think this does escalate it to a new level. And I'll say this one thing about it. And I don't know if J.D. Vance said that in this meeting, but he said it within the last day or two. He might have said it in this meeting. Why, you and the media and everybody else, why do you think that President Trump is going to get on the world stage and criticize Putin and yell and call him a brutal dictator and blah, 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 and then I can get on the phone and go, hey, let's make a deal? That would be the stupidest deal-making you could possibly do. He probably believes all of those things. We don't know for sure because he's out there trying to make deals. He's playing the role of a diplomat. And J.D. Vance said that's what the president has decided to be in this conversation, is a diplomat. Do we have a vested interest in this? Yes. It's rather indirect, but it is a vested interest. Does Trump need to be doing this as the top priority? Probably not. But then we need to figure out where the money went. And that's one thing I would have liked to have heard in that meeting today. Didn't come up. I get it. But ask Zelensky to his face. You said $72 billion cannot be found. We need to talk about that. Help us trace down $72 billion. Because we're not saying necessarily that Ukraine even stole it. Maybe it's still here. Help us find it. That should be a part of the conversation, and maybe it was going to be, but this was all public.
This is going to be a footnote on the conversation of today with Zelensky coming in. You know, in a standard news day, Zelensky comes in, they do their little statesman thing, they go behind closed doors, whatever happens, happens, they come out with a deal. Done. Do you care that Zelensky does not wear a suit?
No. I know a lot of people do care. I don't care.
Trump greeted him when he got out of the car and said, wow, look, you're all dressed up today.
Yeah. He was joking, though. I mean, it seemed like he was pretty good-natured about it.
Zelensky's made a choice, man. It's not like you show up and expect people to... It's not... I mean, he's choosing to do this.
Yeah, it's like a character.
Donald Trump wears a blue suit and a white shirt and a red tie every time he wants to be signature Donald Trump. That's a choice.
Yeah.
If Donald Trump had to go to Zelensky and beg him for money and peace, Zelensky might say, wow, blue suit, who'd have thought? It's a choice. But it doesn't bother you that he doesn't wear a suit?
Does it you?
No.
No, it doesn't bother me.
I don't care. It's the least of my concerns.
Yeah, and I see pretty high-profile people kind of saying, look, you're meeting with the president, mm-hmm. show some dignity. It's what he does. I don't really see that as a problem.
Brad?
I don't care if he wears a suit or not. I personally don't like wearing suits. But, I mean, if the people that you're going to meet with to save your country want you to wear a suit, then wear a suit. I mean, it's stupid not to.
Not but to wear a suit?
If the people that you're meeting with that you're trying to impress, that you're trying to garner peace and money from, yes, wear the suit.
I don't think that the fact that he didn't wear a suit is what went wrong.
Oh, I don't think that's what went wrong either. But, I mean... Like, I saw one of his answers whenever a reporter asked him about a suit, and he basically...
Recently?
Yes. Actually, I put that in our group chat. I can share it with you. But he basically said something to the effect that I'll wear a costume whenever this war is over, was kind of his attitude. And so, I mean, to me, it's all part of the arrogance that man has that, you know, he comes in there with it's a disrespectful attitude, an entitled attitude, and I don't like that. But really... It's just a small microcosm of who he is as a person.
Do you think it's disrespectful that he doesn't wear a suit, Ryan?
No, I don't. It's what he always does.
He's also in wartime, so I think that matters. I don't find it to be disrespectful. I bet there's a generational gap on this. I was thinking to myself about how in government, like, this is a nasty, nasty place, the way government functions, the way people stab each other in the back, the way things, but everything's Mr. this, Mrs. that, or, you know, the gentle lady, the gentleman. And I wonder what people who work in that environment, I wonder what their opinions are on the pomp and circumstance of it. It's almost like I was having an active conflict with myself on whether or not I think that that's because nobody talks like that. That doesn't exist anywhere else. Even in big business right now, it's kind of first name basis. Once you introduce yourselves, you know, it's cordial to say, oh, it's so nice to meet you, Mr. Wiggins. And then you say,
ah, that's my dad's name.
Yuck. You say, call me Ryan.
Yeah.
Or whatever name you want to be called. Yeah. But if you do that, I mean, when was the last time you were in a full-on conversation with someone and it was only Mr.'s and Mrs.'s?
Not very often.
Like, hardly ever.
The minute that happens, immediately, like, I'm like, oh, gosh. Cool out. Call me daddy.
Gosh.
I don't know that we're talking about the same things here. But if we were, the pomp and circumstance still exists at these very high diplomatic levels. Zelensky is certainly breaking that norm. But we have a United States senator from Pennsylvania who wears hoodies to the Senate.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how we can... I mean, you either have the standard or you don't. And it almost feels like it's hanging on for dear life.
I think there's a lot of Republican influencers who take this side, who say, look, you're meeting with the president of the United States. This is President Donald Trump. You need to look nicer. I actually would take Zelensky's side on this and say, I don't care nearly as much about what's happening on the facade as what's happening behind closed doors. And today, oddly, we got to see what happens behind closed doors right out in front of everybody. So the substance of the meeting matters way more than what everybody's wearing.
If Malay came here and was wearing like cool dude clothes, I think those same people would be like, he's chill. He's, I think they'd be fine with it.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
Even if they weren't fine with it, if they didn't like it, they wouldn't talk about it.
Yeah, they'd leave it alone.
It wouldn't be an issue. Zelensky is easy to pick on because we've sent so much money his way that you feel like you kind of have the right to pick on it. I just think that the whole... I was thinking that we were going to do the whole Zelensky war. The same thing he wears every time he goes anywhere, so I don't know why we're even still talking about it. If he showed up in a suit, it would look like submission. In this point in time. And I don't think he wants to be seen on the world stage during wartime in a physical state of submission. Like, he's too far deep into this whole thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was probably going to be the big story, other than the possible peace negotiation of this war. And boy, was it not.
Does Zelensky's attitude change after today? Because so far, what we've heard from both Trump and Vance and Rubio is that he keeps moving the goalposts on this rare earth deal, that they keep thinking they've got something, and then he goes back and goes, eh, never mind. And so that's why he was there today, because they keep having to do this over and over. Does he change his position?
I'm literally scrolling X right now. I'm even sharing my X profile timeline with our live stream, YouTube live stream. I'm literally scrolling X right now to wait and see what has changed in the midst of our conversation right now. Because I think something has to give quickly. Very quickly. And our YouTube live chat poll for today, do you trust Donald Trump to handle Vladimir Putin? Yes or no? I could see people being persuaded to be like, gosh, Donald Trump is so good at this. And then I'm also seeing other people on here saying Donald Trump just blew this to pieces. So you got to go vote and tell us what you think. Let's take a quick break. We'll get more reaction from General Keane when we come back, is commenting on this. We'll keep you up to date on what is going on the YouTube live chat poll as well. Let's see here. Some of the comments that we've gotten so far. Do you support Donald Trump do you trust Donald Trump to handle Putin? No, 100%. That's from TJ. And then Janine says, yes, 100%. So what do you think? Let us know what you think. Go vote. Leave a comment. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You'll never find another like me.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Well, one of these things is not like the other. Can you imagine the meeting, you kind of alluded to this earlier, that would have taken place with Trump and Zelensky should it have been Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Zelensky? Zelensky, does he, I mean, he's got to know what he's dealing with. It just seems like it spiraled out of control so quickly. Zelensky's going to have to come back and be like, can we reset? Let's start over again. How does that work if you're in a fight with your wife? I'll tell you, I'll start. If I'm in a fight with my significant other, my husband, Jared, and we have a disagreement or whatever, I will go up to him. This is how long have I been married? 17 years? Is that right? 20, I don't know. Is it that long? 2007?
Yeah. 17 years. Right, we're right there, because I was married right after you.
At this point, I go up to him and say, listen, I don't want to fight. I'm mad. And this is what I think. And I'm just super direct about it. And he knows now that that's okay. We have now engaged the phase where we're trying to get to the other side so we can get back to the life that we're living. And that it's very like straight to the point. I'm mad about this, I'm mad about this, and I'm mad about this, and this is how I feel about it. And then he says, well, you've misunderstood this, and I'm sorry about that, and I wish you would have that. And then I go, it's like, I agree on your terms. All right, what do we need to do for the kids? It's kind of the way it goes for us. If things get out of hand in your relationships, is it always the first person? Are you always the first person to come back to try to get things? Does it depend on the issue? If there's a fight,
yeah, it always depends. It depends on how offended somebody is or how mad somebody is. It depends on who did the thing.
Who's more likely between the two of you to finally come and say, "All right, let's," like I said, engage the next phase.
I don't know. I think it's pretty equal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it really depends on what it was.
What the issue was.
Like if I got mad at her because of something, then I don't even know who's more likely in which scenario, but it really depends on what it is.
What about you guys?
Usually Terry is first because she really, 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 really doesn't like conflict. So she's very quick to try to resolve conflict. I have to wait until I can get my emotions under control and in check before I go and make something worse than what it actually needs to be. But I would say even though she's usually first, I would say it's about a 60-40 split. And like you were saying with Jared, Terry and I are really, we want to resolve the issue. Let's just get to the bottom of what has caused the conflict, resolve the conflict in something that is mutually agreeable for both parties involved, because sometimes you can't make both people happy. So we just try to make the most happy that we can.
If we're fighting in our household, there's so many things that, you know, you got to keep the trains running on time, that if Jaren and I are having a conflict of some sort, you could keep fighting, but you're going to have to do it side by side. You're still going to have to be in the same places in public arguing about things. And he doesn't argue. I'm much more of an arguer. That's like totally shocking to anybody who knows us. But I mean, if he's upset about something, or if I'm upset about something, you can't just stop functioning as a family because you don't want to be in the same room with one another. So to me, it's like, let's just get this done. I would assume that it's kind of like dudes who are like, let's just fist fight and get this over with. Mm-hmm. it's kind of like that, but there are no fists. Mm-hmm. So that's not happening. Let's get back to the news of what's been taking place today. And you know, that conversation kind of lends to, how does Zelensky, who I don't think the United States is going to be like, do you want to talk about it? What does Zelensky say? I screwed up. Well, that didn't go the way I was supposed to.
This is what Trump does. He knows that he's got, as he put in the meeting today, all the cards. And the stupid response was, unfortunately, from Zelensky, well, we're not playing cards. And he's like, we know we're not playing cards. We're talking about world wars here. But what he's saying is you don't have any leverage. So he's just going to sit and wait until Zelensky realizes exactly what Trump said today, which is, you know where you'd be without us?
Yeah.
For the last
reality
few
check.
Years, but even beyond that. And now, and you come in here, and he really did. He came in criticizing the way that not just this, really, actually, it wasn't this administration as much. It was previous administrations handled Crimea is the way it started.
We read some Fox reports on what took place here. Caitlin Collins reported about an hour ago. Here's what happened inside the White House after the Oval Office shouting match. Trump huddled with his key advisors immediately afterward inside the Oval. According to a White House official, Trump consulted Vance, Rubio, Besant, etc. That was when Trump decided that Zelensky was, quote, not in a place to negotiate, end quote. He directed Secretary Rubio and his National Security Advisor Mike Waltz to deliver the message. It was time for Zelensky to leave. The Ukrainians were holding nearby in a separate room. That's standard for foreign leader visits. Typically, they reconvene for lunch, but the Ukrainians would not be dining at the White House. As the prepared food sat nearby on carts in a hallway, the Ukrainians were instructed to leave. The White House official said the Ukrainians wanted to continue the talks, but they were told no. Zelensky left shortly thereafter. I would say that the Caitlin Collins report there and the Jackie Heinrich report there are pretty simpatico.
Pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was reading through that thinking that maybe we were going to get a little Caitlin Collins spice on it. And it was pretty straight to the point. Seems like a fair assessment of what happened. General Jack Keane, is that who we got here?
Yeah.
Let's play his response. Very interesting to get his expertise on the issue. He spoke on Fox News just a little bit earlier.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say I associate myself with Secretary Pompeo's comments. And I just add a couple of thoughts. Mm-hmm. Number one, no president has ever experienced what Zelensky's experienced. 3 years of war in his country. He's attacked by the most powerful country in Europe, has a much larger military. He outguns the Ukrainians, and he's watched their people suffer on a regular basis. He always goes to the front, you know, to help his troops in terms of their spirit and morale, but it's got to take a toll on him to see the suffering that's taken place among his people. The only president comes close to that is Abraham Lincoln due to our Civil War. That is one thing. The second thing is, I mean, he should have understood going into the Oval Office today that when the cameras are on, the reporters are going to try to provoke division, particularly the body of reporters that we know are in the White House that are anti-Trump. They want to try to accentuate that division in front of the American people. So provocative questions are going to be asked. And the only answer to the question should be, from Zelensky's point, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, America. I'm going to work with you to achieve a peaceful end to this war, period. He must say that 5, 6, 7 times in different words and stay away from anything that smacks of controversy that would divide them. He fell into that trap, and likely right beneath the surface, he obviously has some disagreements with the president and his team. And that is to be expected, but not in the Oval Office. That is done privately, as anybody has said today. The second thing is what the last snippet talked about. Zelensky likely doesn't see this deal, the mineral deal, in the same light that President Trump does. He sees it as a huge strategic deal that connects the United States to Ukraine for a generation at least. It's going to take years of exploration and mining to get all of that out where it's monetized properly. He knows all of that, but it connects him economically to Ukraine, politically to Ukraine, and all the implications in terms of security and military to Ukraine. But Trump does not want to go there on a third thing prior to negotiations. He knows full well that given the investment the United States is going to make, that he will do what's necessary to protect it. But prior to negotiations with Putin, he's not laying that stuff out on a table. I'm stunned that Zelensky doesn't have an appreciation for who he's dealing with, that he hasn't been briefed in the kind of details that he really has to have. What Zelensky wants is a strategic partnership with Trump, Martha, where they're working together to deal with Putin. And what the president is doing, he is facilitating these negotiations. Zelensky doesn't like that. He wants a partnership. But President Trump believes if he's going to have any progress with Putin, he can't publicly sign up with Zelensky to achieve that. He puts a lot of faith in personal diplomacy that exceeds most presidents I've seen, going all the way back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
There's General Jack Keane, retired General Jack Keane, talking about how this kind of shakes out. And he really speaks to what we've been discussing, what a lot of people have been reacting to, which is Zelensky has to say he's committed to peace over and over and over again. And then what happens behind closed doors when you don't have an adversarial media sitting in front of you? Don't take the bait. He took the bait and he did it in the Oval Office. And, you know, that did not end well for him. So I think it's I think what General Keane there is saying is important and pretty spot on and not really surprising.
I really wouldn't be surprised if going forward we see a different Zelensky now. I shouldn't say we see. Trump and Vance see a different Zelensky now, because he knows that they're not playing around. And I think he was thinking, oh, I got a lot of negotiation room. I'm going to try to do this and that. And he was kind of coming out of deals and saying one thing to Marco Rubio, going back to his legislature and saying another thing. And, you know, these are things that these rare earth deals, we've been talking about this for 2 weeks. We thought this was done 2 weeks ago. In fact, Marco Rubio thought it was done 2 weeks ago. And yet we're still here having these conversations, which means that Zelensky thought he had a lot more to negotiate with than he probably does. And maybe that's what he realizes today.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll wrap up this show in the next segment, along with your YouTube live chat poll results. Do you trust Donald Trump to handle Vladimir Putin? Yes or no? We've certainly seen today how Donald Trump handles Vladimir Zelensky. And so that, check that box. I don't know if you loved it or not, but how about Putin? What do you think? It's your chance to weigh in. Annie Fry YouTube channel. The live chat is where we have the live the poll. You can vote there, and we'll get results with Ethan. Probably Ethan's coming in. Maybe when we come back. If not, I'll give them to you. We'll be right back. You ran after me and called my name. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So we've got the YouTube live chat poll up here. Do you trust Donald Trump to handle Vladimir Putin? There's a lot of reaction, of course, all over the place right now on what took place. We've covered it ad nauseum here throughout the course of the 3 hours that we've been on the air. I want to read a couple more of your comments, and then Brad and Ryan, I'm going to get to you guys here. Steven says, yes, completely. Old adage, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Then you can pick the fighting time for their demise. Diana said, trust 100% and am behind 100%. Makes me proud to finally have a president with strength and our interests at heart. Do you feel like the juxtaposition of the Biden way of doing things and the Trump way of doing things is inflaming what this looks like? Or is Donald Trump, is the Trumpian way of handling these things just that different? There's a lot of way to use
no,
that word.
No, it is inflaming it, but that may be on purpose, too. You know, he may be saying, look, we need to shake this up. I wouldn't say today is really a part of that, because today felt like they had a plan, and that plan didn't happen. You know, Trump is willing to kind of roll with whatever's going on. I'm not saying he's not good at improv, but I do think that Trump's style has really shaken this up. For better or worse, that's what you're going to get with Trump.
I kind of said this off air, and I'll throw those comments on air for everyone else to participate in. But I don't know that I can't imagine that they anticipated that this is how this was going to go.
No,
but I do very firmly believe that Trump felt very much so like he had the upper hand in this. And I wouldn't be so shocked that the invitation of Zelensky to come to the White House to sign this deal, if the Americans didn't know first. I bet you that they understood that Zelensky had some significant reservations in what was about to transpire. And Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and the presence in the Oval Office, there's a very powerful location to have this conversation. You know, they came in with the heavy hand and they felt like they had the upper hand, certainly. And maybe knew that Zelensky didn't love the deal, and maybe knew that Zelensky might be just a wee bit on tilt because of the balance of how this deal was going to shake out. And if they leaned into that a little bit, because they could, because, I mean, that's where the politics come out of it. If Trump looks like he is just moving the chess pieces around on the board to his perfect liking, that looks a certain way on the national stage. They probably felt like they had the room to behave in that way, thinking that it's an 80-20 chance that Zelensky does what we just heard General Jack Keane say he should do. You know, my purpose here is to restore peace for my people and for Ukraine. And repeat that line, because that line is true no matter what anybody else is saying, right? Should be. Mm-hmm. You'd like to think it was. So the political thing for Zelensky to do is to adhere to that line and not take any bait from the, you know, big, bad, powerful Americans who are trying to put on a show in the Oval Office with all of these cameras and this press and the Secretary of State and the Vice President, blah, 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 blah. But don't understand why Zelensky didn't understand that.
I also just, you know, this is something that I think as we've been discussing it for the last few days, I've heard people in a roundabout way make this point. And it seems like a no-brainer to me. If you're Zelensky, why would you not want American/Western businesses to come into your country associated with this rare earth? But they're going to bring a lot of other things, too. Mm-hmm. They're going to bring a lot of money in. You know, they're going to bring people in, basically. And they're going to bring the interests of those nations in, because we're going to protect our people if they're there. Why would you not want as many Western-oriented businesses to be in your nation for as long and as much as possible? Maybe you think you are giving up a little bit too much of the rare earth because you're like, oh, that's wealth we could have had. But right now you're in war and there is no end in sight. Your situation is not good. That seems like just a no-brainer to me.
Well, yeah, and to piggyback off of that, that wealth is something that you will have come to your country, because there will be workers that are hired from Ukraine to work in those facilities. So yeah, it'll come back to your country, and especially if you don't have the infrastructure or the companies to build up and to actually take advantage of those materials.
So I read this tweet, this post from Rubio earlier. Thank you, POTUS, for standing up for America in a way that no president has ever had the courage to do before. Thank you for putting America first. America is with you. I don't know if I read that one. Keith Kellogg, our friend here on the Annie Fry Show, who is like the handpicked ambassador to fix to be on the ground and kind of fix this Ukraine-Russia war, retweeted Secretary Marco Rubio. And this is what Keith Kellogg posted. Mr. Secretary, was honored to be with POTUS, Vice President, and you in the Oval today during the bilateral with President Zelensky, as the president has always done. He stood for America. America first. The world saw it today in real time. So going into our YouTube poll for today, do you trust Donald Trump to handle Vladimir Putin? Yes or no? We've talked all about Zelensky today. It wasn't supposed to be all about Zelensky today. The Putin part of this equation, as we've said, Donald Trump has to work with Zelensky to get a willingness to agree to something that would be agreeable to Putin so the fighting stops. Ryan, do you trust Donald Trump to handle Putin?
I am yes on this, but not just because I voted for Donald Trump and I like Donald Trump. I'm a yes on this based on his history and his track record. He's earned it. During his first term, he caused peace to break out in the Middle East. Nobody could have saw that coming. Mm-hmm. There were no wars between Ukraine and Russia during his first term. There were internationally, we looked very good. And I don't mean we as in the United States. I mean the world. It wasn't perfect, but things moved in a very, very strong, positive, peaceful direction during Donald Trump's first term. So I think he's earned the trust going into negotiations like this, which are very tense and very difficult, but he's earned it.
Viktor Orban, the prime minister of Hungary, has posted on X 23 minutes ago, strong men make peace, weak men make war. Today, President Donald Trump stood bravely for peace, even if it was difficult for many to digest. Thank you, Mr. President. Brad, your thoughts on trusting Donald Trump to handle Vladimir Putin? You trust him or not?
Yes, I trust him. He's America first. He demonstrated that today, and he's demonstrated that consistently throughout this presidency and his previous presidency. And I have no doubt in my mind that he will stand against Vladimir Putin if Vladimir Putin is trying to do anything that will harm the United States. He will stand against him. He's America first. So, yeah, I trust him to deal with Putin.
I completely trust him. I trust him more than I trust anyone else. And I trust it because, this is something that I've been talking about here recently because it's showing so much in the contrast between the Biden administration and the Trump administration. When it comes to Putin, everything that a leader, that an elected official is supposed to say about Putin is really directed by what's the media going to say if you do this?
Right.
What's the media going to say if I do that? So there's so much reflexive response to these types of things where, you can't say it this way. You can't say it that way. Nothing about what you say is immediately related to what you do. I want people in the Oval Office who care about what you do. And then you explain it in the way that you feel it needs to be explained in truth and honesty. And then if people like it, they like it. If people don't like it, they don't like it. But I did not send Donald Trump to the Oval Office with my vote in the state of Illinois to make me feel good in the moment. I wanted him to make me safe. I wanted him to make the world safe, as I have a 15-year-old son who's of drafting age in just a few short years, that if they don't get this right and World War III is upon us, that freaks me out a little bit. I want the president who's going to go into the Oval Office and say, this is how it's going to go. And this is what America's interests are in this. Not, I'm afraid of what Jake Tapper is going to say about me or write about me if I don't do this the right way. Or I'm afraid about what Sean Hannity is going to say or put out there about me if I don't do this the right way. Everything the Democrats do is to manipulate the voting public. They just think you're stupid. They need you to be as dumb as they are in order for them to continue to win elections. And they got away with it for way too long. That's the scary part of this. Dumb people have been electing Democrats for a very, very long time. And look where it got us. It got us to the place where the number one persona non grata in Donald Trump, over the years that he has been on the political scene, is one of the most hated, despised men that has ever existed in politics before, has increased his support election after election after election, to the point where he wins his second term after a four-year hiatus with the popular vote in tow, a Republican House and a Republican Senate. Because people have had enough of being treated like they're dumb. They've woken up to the idea that they're going to have to pay a little bit of attention to see what people are actually doing. The Biden administration didn't do squat. The Biden administration sat idly by, and all they needed to do was successfully make the media blame the other guy. Why? Because that would win them the next election. And it got bad enough, the southern border being the prime example, that people had enough to where now deportation on top of a wall is a majority in favor of polled question. The wall was racist the first time Donald Trump was talking about it. That was one of the key elements that they were going to defeat him in 2016, is how racist this wall was. Kamala Harris was running for president after ousting the actual president of the United States from the race. She was running for the presidency saying we needed to build the wall. And now deportations are a majority favored policy. This man has earned every right to be in this position to do what he thinks is best. And the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful part of it is it doesn't matter what the media thinks. It doesn't matter what the media says. They are the biggest losers in all of this. And in spite of their losing, the United States wins. America is first again. We see it from the guy who's in charge, and the media can't do a damn thing about it.
Trump has put himself right in the middle of this thing. He will be judged on the outcome of this thing. We're all watching. Today was a big, big day for that. We'll see what happens.
Three yeses from us in the room. Ethan, you want to hit us with the results here?
Gee whiz, I'm glad I don't have to follow that up. Holy cow. YouTube live chat.
You do have to follow up. You're talking now.
Well, I don't have to share my opinion. It wasn't called upon.
He's filibustering right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you trust Donald Trump to handle Vladimir Putin? 373 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. Thank you to everyone that voted. 77% say yes. 23% say no. That's your poll.
Ryan, you're looking good today.
Thank you. I like this shirt very much.
We're going to post a picture on our Annie Fry Show Facebook page.
You feel it very well.
That's not what I was hearing to hear.
Thank you for being here with us. AnnieFryShow.com/podcast for the podcast. You can also stream us on the Odyssey app. Podcasts are there as well as The Mark Reardon Show, which is coming up next. Don't go away.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.